In this parak, we're going to see Shmuel HaNavi's first prophecy, his first time that he was given Nevuah, and the message that he later conveyed to Eli. The first question is, why was Shmuel the one chosen to become the next leader, the next shofet and the Navi for Klal Yisrael? V'hanar Shmuel Mishoris Es Hashem Lifnei Eli. The Nar Shmuel was serving Hashem before Eli. You know, it's a lot of times you can have a gadol that's for years and years is sitting and learning and he's not as well known, and all of a sudden his time comes and he becomes the manig of Klal Yisrael. Well, I learned the Eretz Yisrael like 20 years ago, and at that time I went to the Stipler many, many times. And people at that time already said he has a son that the Stipler says is a greater Bucky than he is. And yet I never went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I figured I always went to the father. I went to the Stipler many times. The son, I didn't go to. And Rav Yashiv, I don't even think I heard his name when I was in Eretz Yisrael. The Gedolim knew him. But among the Hamayinam, he sat and he learned. And all of a sudden, his time came to be the Manig of Klal Yisrael. And all of a sudden, he was the one who was sitting and learning and serving his Rabbeim. And that was his time. So at this point that we're going to see Eli's leadership is about to end, you want to know why Shmuel was chosen? Why not others? V'hanar Shmuel Mishoris Es Hashem Lifnei Eli. The Nar Shmuel was serving Hashem before Eli. Among the many things that a Gadol needs, one of them is he has to have a Rebbe. He has to have a Messiah. The leaders in Klal Yisrael, it's interesting when you notice the Gedolim, who their teachers were, the Gedolim of the previous door. Shmuel was taught by Eli. Udvar Hashem. But in general, in terms of the populace, in terms of everyone else, Udvar Hashem Haya Yokor Bayamim Mohem. The word of Hashem was precious in those days. Meaning there wasn't an abundance of prophecy. It was granted very rarely. Even though we learned Elkanah was part of those who were the Bnei Hanavim, he lived among those who were preparing themselves to be Zocha to Nevuah, but in general there was very little Nevuah in those days. Which is critical to understand. We're going to see when Hashem first appears to Shmuel, Shmuel doesn't think it's a Nevuah. He thinks Eli's speaking to him. And Eli doesn't understand initially that it's a Nevuah for Shmuel. Because people didn't expect Nevuah. It wasn't to be expected. Udvar Hashem hoya yokor bayamim ahem. The word of Hashem was very precious, was rare in those days. Ein chazon nifrotz. The vision from Hashem was not nifrotz. It didn't break out. It was very confined. Chazal explained like if you had a channel of water with a forceful torrent and the water's flowing forcefully and there's no way for the water to be diverted, and then all of a sudden there's a breach in the side wall and the water comes pouring out. So too, the word of Hashem was like confined. It didn't seem to reach people. It was flowing wherever, but it wasn't reaching people. And all of a sudden, Shmuel, this was the time that Hashem wanted Shmuel to become the Navi. And from here on in, we'll see, from Shmuel on, there was an increase in Nevuah. Both for him, and we'll see it affected others also. But at this point at the beginning, Ein Chazon Nifrats. There wasn't a visions and Nevuah. It hadn't broken forth. Vayhi bayomahu, it was on that day. It doesn't say which day. In fact, the words of the Targum are Vahava biyomayo ha'inu, and it was in those days, which is the exact expression the Targum said for the words bayomim ha'im. In other words, it could be, according to the Targum, Eli was already given a message. The Ish Elokim, the man of God, the Navi, already Elkanah, already came to Eli with a message that because of the way his children were acting, the leadership was going to be taken from them, and they were going to have punishments. They would have poverty. They would die young. They were going to receive their punishment. But could be Eli was given time to see if he would still be able to correct after he was given this message. Maybe he could still correct them. And nothing happened, and therefore the parak continues. Other Mephorshim learn the Metzudas David brings it down. Vayi Bayomahu was the same day that Elkanah, that the Ish Elokim came to Eli with the terrible forecast, the prediction of what was going to happen. The same day he had this experience that Shmuel became a Navi, and Shmuel is going to tell him again a message from Hashem that the end of the leadership of the house of Eli is at hand. Vayi Bayomahu was that day, like you have by Yosef, by Paro when he had the dreams, and Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef said the dream was repeated twice, Kimamar Ho Elokim LaSoso. It's happening soon. That's why Paro had two dreams, with the cows and the ears of grain. Here too, he was given a message in the day from the Ish Elokim, and Vayi Bayomahu, right afterwards, we're going to hear again the message. Ve'eli Shochev Bimakomo. Eli was sleeping in his place. We'll see what significance that is. We'll see shortly. First of all, in general, the Levim guarded the outside of the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan. The Kohanim were inside. So the simple meaning is Eli was sleeping in his place, meaning he was actually closer to the Kodesh Kodashim, to where the Aron was. He was closer than Shmuel to the source of the sound. And as the voice coming to Shmuel was coming from the direction of Eli, and we'll see, yet Eli didn't hear it, even though he was sleeping in his place. The Malbim learns, and we'll see the contrast where, in terms of where Shmuel was sleeping. Sleeping in his place means that he wasn't progressing. It's hard enough for us to make our days count the way they should. But among Gadol the Yisrael, among the Tzaddikim, their nights are an accomplishment also. In fact, there was a Gadol Rav Tzadok HaKohen, lived over 100 years ago, and he wrote a separate sefer, Resisei Loila, of the thoughts and what the Torah that he gained during the night while he went to sleep. And it's well known there were Gadolim who used to go to sleep. Before they went to sleep, they would take a sefer. Some of them took something easy, some took something very difficult, and they'd go to sleep with the words of Torah, and subconsciously, over the course of the hours, and then they would wake up and look at it again. Maybe they had a new insight, but that's what they went to sleep, that was on their mind. But Eli Shochev Bimakomo. Eli was, for whatever the reason was, the simple understanding is Eli was old already, it didn't have the youthful strength. I would only say this because the Malba mentions it, that it was almost as if Eli was stagnating in his spiritual growth. In other words, he was sleeping where he was. He wasn't progressing. That was in Ruchnis. Ve'enov hechelu chehos. His eyes began to weaken. Lo yuchaliros. He wasn't able to see. Why is that relevant to the story? First of all, the fact that Eli couldn't see. Some of Forshim learned, they had began to weaken. And then the next step was, lo yuchal liros, he wasn't able to see. And that had just happened at this point. There was a gradual deterioration, and it could be that day was when Eli first became totally blind. And when the voice came out to Shmuel, his first reaction was, Eli must be calling him, because Eli was going through this physical ordeal, and it could be he needed Shmuel's help. Lo yuchaliros, because it's like two steps and it's two phrases right after another. His eyes began to weaken. Lo yuchaliros, he couldn't see. Also, it shows the beginning of the physical weakening. In other words, he wasn't able to. It was sort of being shown that the leadership of Klal Yisrael would no longer be his ability. In other words, it was being prepared to be given over to the next generation. I believe Avigdor Miller points out, it's a type of thing which, it's a terrible thing, but he makes a mention that oftentimes if somebody's nifter in his prime of youth and in his strength, and when he has all his faculties and all his strength, the tragedy is just overwhelming. It's a chesed from Hashem. It's a chesed that it's also very difficult to bear. But Hashem sometimes makes, the normal course of events is somebody, as he gets older, becomes weaker. First of all, for the person himself, he's able to sort of come to grips with the fact that this world is not his eternal place. He has better waiting for him. And he's able to make his preparation. He's given the physical warnings that a person doesn't live forever. And it makes it easier for the family and for everyone else that they realize that the person was getting weaker. But Eli was given these signs that his leadership was about to end. Pasuk Gimel, V'ne'er Elokim Terem Yichbeh. The candle, the light of Hashem, pushed from the menorah, Terem Yichbeh, had not yet been extinguished. The candle, the light was still burning. U'Shmuel Shochev, Shmuel was lying down. B'Heichal Hashem, in the Heichal of Hashem, Asher Shom Aron Elokim, where the Aron was. On the simple level, the question, the pasuk is incomprehensible the way it is, because you weren't allowed to sleep. First of all, Levi didn't go into the Heichal. You weren't allowed to go into the Heichal. Daf Yomi just finished Eruvin. Over there, Rashi brings down Valyovo B'chol Eisel HaKodesh, that he's not allowed to go in. He's not allowed to go into the Heichal. So, and certainly to sleep. Shmuel went down, Shochev, he's lying in the Heichal. It can't mean like this. If you look carefully at the trup under the word Shochev, the trup is what's called an esnachta. And as any Valkyrie will tell you, an esnachta signifies a break in the pasuk, right? If you have the word Mitzrayim and it's an esnachta, we'll say it Mitzroyim. It's like, sort of like, almost like an end of a pasuk. Ushmol Shochev, Shmuel was lying where he was lying. Beheichel Hashem Asher Shom Aron Elokim, and the Heichel where the Aron was, it can be connected with the next pasuk. In that Heichel, Vayikra Hashem al Shmuel, Hashem called to Shmuel and he said, and Shmuel responded. In fact, Abarbanel points out, even though it does say Beheichel, in the Heichel, there are psukim, there's a pasuk, for instance, Vahanosar Babosar Uvalochem, what remains from the meat and the bread, Boesh Tisrofu, you have to burn. There it means what remains from the meat. Oh, we'll see in a minute. The question was, if he wasn't in the Heichel, why was he called? Why was he called? We'll see. He was sleeping outside. The voice came from the Heichel, like Moshe Rabbeinu, that says the voice came. He bein shnei akruvim, and he heard the voice coming to him, which we'll see in a moment. But it could mean just like Vanoser Babosu Valochem means. The bread and the wine and the bread and the meat that remain from the carbon, it's almost as if Beheichal, from the Heichal, where the Aron was, Hashem called. But the Malbim explains with the idea that we talked about a moment ago. The way it's written like this is Shmuel Shochev. Shmuel was sleeping. He was lying down. But do you want to know what kind of a lying down Shmuel did? It was as if, it's like when you daven, it's as if you're davening and you envision you're in Yerushalayim, you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you're in the Kodesh Kadoshim. When he slept, his minds and his focus, it was all Beheichal Hashem. It's as if where your mind is where you are. His mind and his thoughts were Beheichal Hashem Asher Aron Hashem Elokim. He was thinking, those were his thoughts, the Aron, the Heichal. And that's why he was Zochet to Nevuah. But the simple meaning is he was sleeping outside, and from the Heichal, he was given the message from Hashem. Chazal bring down, in terms of Eli, there's a Chazal, Kol HaMagadol Rosha, Kol HaMagadol Ben Rosha Ein of Kehos, that this was sort of a punishment for Eli, the fact that he wasn't successful with his children, that's why he was Zocha to these infirmities of old age. But while Eli was experiencing this, Shmuel was on the rise. He was lying, his thoughts were in the Heichal Hashem. And Vayikra Hashem al Shmuel, Hashem called to Shmuel. Vayomer and Shmuel said, Hineini, here I am. The voice came, if you see Rashi on this pasuk, Vayikra Hashem, Rashi says, the kol yotza meheichal Hashem, from the Kodshei Kodashim, and a call to Shmuel. Now the wonder in this is, as Rashi brings down, it's a pasuk, that Eli was the Kohen who was sleeping closer to the Heichal, to the to the Kodesh Kodoshim. And the sound seemed to pass right over Eli, and Eli didn't hear it. Just Shmuel did. And this is going to be one of the ways that Eli realizes that this is a nevuah, this is not a normal voice. The voice was coming from his direction, but it wasn't from him, and it was obviously nevuah, like we find by Moshe Rabbeinu. The voice came by Dabir Eilov. Moshe heard the sound, and others didn't. I'll hold the questions afterwards. I know there's a lot of questions. Hopefully, as we go along, it'll become clear and whatnot. We'll discuss after. By Yoratzel Eli. So first he called, Hineni, here I am, to let Eli know he's on his way. And then he immediately, Vayoratzel Eli, he ran to Eli. And we'll see, when the voice came again and again, he didn't call out Hineni, and he didn't run. But the first time he said Hineni, and he ran. Vayomer Hineni, and he said, here I am, Ki Karosali, because you called me. Vayomer Lo Karosi. Eli said, I didn't call. Shuv Shchav, go again and lie down. Vayelech Vayishkov. So Shmuel went again and he lied down. Shmuel didn't think it was a nevuah. Eli didn't think it was a nevuah. He thought he was hearing something. Obviously, the voice came to him with a sound. It sounded like Eli. Right? It obviously didn't sound like somebody else. It's a message that in Shmuel and the Zechus that you listen to this sound. You listen to Eli all these years. The sound came with the sound of Eli. In other words, this as a sign to Shmuel, that's why he was zoicha to nevuah. That's one of the, I say there were many, many reasons to become a Navi. It takes many, many qualities and many zechusim. But one of them was that he listened to Eli, therefore the sound came to him with that, the sound of Eli. And he ran, and Eli told him, lie down again. The next time, Vayosef Hashem continued, crow, Od Shmuel, and he called again Shmuel. This time Shmuel didn't call out Hineni. Could be he was a little embarrassed. The first time he called out Hineni, it was wrong, in the middle of the night, and it's time, people are sleeping, Eli was sleeping, Eli Shochev B'Mekoymoi, and he called out Hineni. He didn't call out, and he didn't run. On the other hand, could be he wasn't hearing things, could be it was Eli. Vayokum Shmuel, so Shmuel got up, Vayelech al Eli, and he went to Eli, Vayomer Hineni, and he said, here I am, Ki Korosali, because you called me. Vayomer Lo Korosi. So Eli said, I didn't call. And at this time he says, Bini, my son. In other words, with an extra form of endearment, in other words, it could be Shmuel's going to need the chizik now. In other words, obviously he was making an effort to serve Eli and to do what he could, and yet the second time it's a mistake. No, he should. Vayomer Lo Karasi Bini, my son, I didn't call you. Shuv Shchav, again lie down. And again the Mefarshim say, one of the things necessary for nevuah is a frame of mind of simcha. A person can't be despondent. Could be at this point Shmuel, Eli already had a feeling maybe this is a nevuah for Shmuel. And we'll see in a moment, Shmuel didn't realize it, but Eli already had a premonition, maybe this is nevuah. And therefore when he lies down again, make sure you have to show him that extra endearment. My son! Shmuel's got to remain an optimist, a happy, a besimcha person, in order that if this is nevuah, it will again come to him. Shmuel terem yodas Hashem. Shmuel did not yet know Hashem, which is a strong term. It was a term used for Bnei Eli previously. But over here it means he didn't know Hashem in terms of he had never had nevuah before. And even if you know all about something, certain things, until you experience it, he never had it before, and he didn't expect it. V'terem yigola eilov Dvar Hashem, and the Dvar Hashem had never been revealed to him yet. So Shmuel didn't think that this was nevuah. By Yosef, od kro Shmuel, and by Yosef Hashem kro Shmuel bashlishis, and Hashem called again to Shmuel. Bashlishis, and the Navi stresses it was the third time. And again, Vayokum, he didn't discount it. He got up, Vayelech al Eli, and he went to Eli. Vayomer Hineni, and he said, here I am, Ki Karosali, because you called me. Vayoven Eli. And now Eli understood ki Hashem korei lanor, that Hashem was calling to the nar. That this is the third time Eli realized for sure this must be nevuah. Why? The nevuah wasn't given to Eli because there was really no purpose in it. The Ish Elohim already came to Eli and he told him that the household of Eli was going to lose its prominence and that all the punishments were going to happen. Shmuel was given this nevuah because Shmuel should know that the household of Eli is on the decline and he's going to become the leader. So it wasn't given as a message to convey to Eli. On the other hand, Hashem did want Eli to know it, and therefore it was done in this manner that Shmuel kept on running to Eli, and Eli knows that something's going on, and we'll see the next morning Eli's going to call Shmuel and ask what happened. So Eli was given the message that something's going on. And yet at the same time, it wasn't a nevuah directed to Eli. Because if a Navi has a nevuah, he's mechuyev to go and say it. Or as if Shmuel had a nevuah that he was told, give this message. Like we know throughout, Yirmiyah had messages that got him put into jail, put his life at risk. But if a Navi's a Navi, he has to go and say the word whether he likes it or not. Shmuel was not told to tell this to Eli. And therefore, he didn't want to, as we'll see in a moment. But Eli understood ki Hashem korei lanor, that Hashem is calling Shmuel. Vayomer Eli l'Shmuel. So Eli said to Shmuel, Leich shchov, go down and lie down again. V'hoyoim yikra eilecha. And it will be that if Hashem calls to you again, that voice calls to you again, and you should say Daber Hashem. Say Daber Hashem using Hashem's name, because Eli was convinced that this is definitely Nevuah. So say Daber Hashem, ki shamei avdecha, your servant is listening. Vayelech Shmuel went, Vayishkav bimakomo, and he slept again in his place. Every word, or they could have just said Vayishkav, he lied down. Bimakomo means in his place, and we already know what the place of Shmuel was. When he went to sleep with a frame of mind, as if he's thinking Beheichal Hashem, where the Aron is. He went to sleep, he lied down, it doesn't say that he fell asleep, he lied down, obviously, and as Eli said to him, clearly, say Daber Hashem. He knew that this was his big moment, and Eli told him to lie down, he lied down, and he would see what would happen. Vayovo Hashem came vayisyatzev. Vayisyatzev implies to stand with a certain permanence. In other words, this was not going to be a one-time occurrence, but this was the first time that Hashem would appear to Shmuel. But vayisyatzev, when Hashem came to Shmuel, it was going to be more of a permanent type of thing. There was going to be one nevuah and another nevuah, and a lifetime that Shmuel was going to have nevuahs and lead Klal Yisrael. Hashem came by Yisyatzev and he stood there, Kaviyochel. By Yikra Kefam Bafam, and he called out like he had every time, Shmuel, Shmuel. Called him out again, Shmuel. And it stresses it was called out the same before he realized it was a Nevuah, after he realized it was a Nevuah. The Miam Lois brings down Chazals that the stress is that it didn't go to his head or it didn't change him. He was the same Eved Hashem before and after. The same way, Shmuel, Shmuel, he was called the same. He remained the same. It didn't change his inner greatness. The fact that he was given this thing, you might think, he became Chas V'Shalom haughty. Or no, he was the same. He was called the same Shmuel, Shmuel. Vayomer Shmuel Daber. And Shmuel said, speak. Ki shomei avdecha, because your servant is listening. And there's one word that he left out. Eli told him exactly what he was supposed to say, and he left out one word, the most important one. He left out the Daber Hashem. Because even though Eli was convinced that this was a nevuah, and Eli told him, say Daber Hashem, the Gemara says in Shabbos, and Kuf Yud Gimel, Shmuel was afraid he's not 100% sure. And a person before uttering Hashem's name has to be 100% sure. And there's no he felt that there was no need to say Daber Hashem. In fact, the Ralbag felt that it brings down a kubi. He didn't want to say Daber Hashem. It sounds almost a lack of respect. You know, it's speak Hashem. You know, it's better just say Daber, as if you're not speaking to Hashem, because it's not like you're asking Hashem directly to do something or giving a command, speak. Just say Daber, whatever the sound is, whoever it is, Daber, speak. But the Gemara says he didn't want to say Hashem's name because maybe he wasn't positive it was Nevuah. But he said, Daber ki shomei avdecha, your servant's listening. Vayomer Hashem el Shmuel. Hashem said to Shmuel, Hinei anochi osa dover bi Yisrael. I'm going to do something in Klal Yisrael. Obviously, this is something that involves all of Klal Yisrael. It's not real. It's not just the family of Eli. I'm going to do something that's going to affect all of Klal Yisrael. Asher kol shoymoi, anybody who hears it, titzileno shtei oznov, his two ears are going to tingle. Even if the person is the type of person that's nothing sways him, nothing moves him, he's unaffected by anything. But even if his body won't shake, his ears, the delicate, the light, the fragile part of his body, what hears the sound, whoever hears us, his ears will tingle. This is going to be a reference to, we're going to see about the Aron is going to be captured. This had not been told to Eli directly before. And this is something that involves all of Klal Yisrael. Now, in terms of what the point of this Nevuah is, Barbanel discusses. As we say, Eli himself realized that his sons were not acting the way they were supposed to. In fact, he had tried speaking to them, and he's blamed for not being forceful enough, but he spoke to him and he said, don't do these things, and the reports, even if you're not doing it, the reports that I'm hearing aren't correct. But he hadn't been forceful enough. And the Ish Elokim came to Eli and told him what was going to be the punishment. The Seder Olam says that this was the first Nevuah that Elkanah had. That Ish Elokim, the man of God that came to Eli, was actually Shmuel's father, Elkanah. That we talked about, and we thought he was, we were finished with him. But no, Elkanah was the one who was given this message, to come to Eli and mention the demise of Eli's family. But it was the first time that he had ever had Nevuah. So somebody comes to Eli, who's the Gadol Ador, who's the Shofei, who's the Navi, who's the Kayin Agadol, a Kayin Gadol, and somebody comes to him and he tells him, and this Elkanah, even though he was known as a Tzaddik, and we knew that he gathered everyone together to come to Mishkan Shiloh, but he didn't have a reputation as a Navi yet. And he comes, and he tells over this terrible thing that's going to happen. Eli didn't respond. If you look over there, it doesn't mention Eli's response. He didn't respond. The Abarvanel says he didn't respond because he wasn't sure. Is it true? Is it not true? If it could be it's not true. He doesn't know what to say. On the other hand, he's not going to argue it. In other words, could be it is a real Nevuah. Eli didn't say anything. So Hashem wanted this message to be given to Shmuel. First of all, Shmuel should know that he's going to be taking over. And Hashem wanted Eli to hear the message again, that Eli should know that this is going to be what's going to happen. And perhaps, we'll see, there are things that could be done to mitigate the punishment. And if Eli knows this, Eli could perhaps still work with his children and bring about a turnabout for the better. So Hashem wanted Eli to hear it, even though, to a certain extent, the decree was final. In other words, on one hand, there was no purpose in Eli to know it. On the other hand, there was a bit of a toelus, and therefore it was done this way, that again a Nevuah came to Shmuel, again with what's going to happen to the household of Eli. But as this pasuk says, here he was told something that involved all of Klal Yisrael also. Yenei anochi osa dover b'Yisrael, I'm doing something that will affect all of Klal Yisrael. And in pasuk Yud-Beis, by Yom HaHu, on that day, the day of the punishment that comes to Klal Yisrael, Okim El Eli, on that day I'll establish to Eli, Eiskol Asher Dibarti El Beisoy, everything that I said to the household of Eli, it's going to happen. Hochel will begin, V'chale, and it'll be finished, destroyed, it'll be total. The beginning will happen, and from then it'll be carried out to completion. In terms of the fact that the sons of Eli were killed in the battle, which we'll learn about next week, in terms of the fact that they were killed, that was the beginning. Later, and it wasn't even that much later, it was around 10 years later, when Shaul wiped out the city of Nov Ir HaKohanim, that was also the family of Eli. The beginning of the destruction of the family, some learned the Hochel V'Kali is referring to the fact that the household would later on, the city of Kohanim would be destroyed. And in general, all the other klolos, the progress was set into motion. That later on, when David and Shlomo selected somebody to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, that Tzadok was chosen, the household of Eli would be finished. Then the rest of the curse would take effect, and the household of Eli would no longer be the Kohen Gadol, no longer be the leaders. V'higadetilo. I told Eli, Kishofen anias beso ad oilam, that I'm going to judge his house forever. Bavon asher yoda, with the sin that he knew, ki makalalim lahem bonov, that his children were cursing them, v'lochi habom, and he didn't put a dimmer on their spirits. He didn't cause them some type of a pause in their actions and say that, you know, that this is not the way things should be. But again, I told him v'igadetilo, I told him that I'm judging his house forever. It doesn't mean that his children are punished because of the Averis. Judge his house forever. Bavon asher yoda, with the sin that he knew, ki makalalim lahem bonov, that his children were cursing them, v'lochi habom, and he didn't put a dimmer on their spirits. He didn't cause them some type of a pause in their actions and say that, you know, that this is not the way things should be. But again, I told him v'igadetilo, I told him that I'm judging his house forever. It doesn't mean that his children are punished because of the averus of the Bnei Eli. Lo yumsu bonim al avos, children aren't punished because of their parents' sins. What it means is, I saw the Das Seifen brings it down, that his house will be judged forever means the way Hashem conducts himself with the world is, if a person does an Aveira, Hashem is an Erech HaPayim. The punishment doesn't come soon. A person is normally given time. He can do tshuva. Different things can spur somebody on. Like Rabbeinu Yonah says, even reading the words of Nevi'im can cause a person to have a hearer tshuva and to say, you know, to correct his ways. If not, it could be a Yom Kippur that will inspire him. Of Hashem is an Erech HaPayim. What happened with the Bnei Eli is because of the way they acted, their children were not going to be given that time delay and that extra gift of waiting and giving them time to do tshuva. But they were going to be judged kishofet on the esbeso. They're going to be judged on an ongoing basis ad oilam, forever. Meaning, when they do something wrong, there'll be a punishment. But of course, if they don't do something wrong, they won't be punished. But there's that constant supervision, and they're judged constantly and punished without giving them that extra gift, which would have been theirs had the Bnei Eli not acted wrongly. And this happened by Vavon Asher Yoda. The truth is, the Pusik even blames it on Eli. It says, Vavon Asher Yoda, because he knew. It's a scary achrayis of a Gadol b'Yisrael. Or Eli didn't do anything wrong directly. Not only that, whatever was going on, he tried to correct them. And as we learned, the main thing was sort of the attitude, the chil Hashem that they created, which was so terrible that these punishments are happening. But technically, they didn't necessarily do something wrong. They set up a certain practice that they're entitled to more meat because they felt they needed a bigger income, and they did it in a manner which was a desecration. But technically, I'm sure they would have had what to answer for their actions. But he knew about it, and there was a tain on Eli, And he knew kimakalim lahem bonov. The simple meaning is like Rashi says. It's as if it would say kimakalim li, as if kaviyochel Hashem saying they were cursing, they were treating lightly the honor of Hashem. It was as if they would be cursing chas v'shalom. But when it's written that way, what's called a tikkun sefer means is Hashem wants it to be written in a manner. Just like if somebody was writing about a person and you wanted to write it in a bakovedika way, you wanted to write it in a nice way, you wouldn't say directly he's cursing Hashem chas v'shalom. So he wrote it as if they're cursing themselves. That's the way Hashem wants it written in the Navi, what's called tikkun sefer. But the intention is that they were cursing Hashem, cursing. Others learn the truth is, it is supposed to be taken kimakalim lahem bonav. His children are cursing themselves. Because you should know when a person does an aveira, nobody's hurting Hashem. Hashem doesn't need your mitzvah and he doesn't need your aveira. Hashem wants you to be able to have all the goodness he could shower on you. And in order to give you bracha, you have to be able to hold it. You know, it's like somebody who says, come in and I'll give you all the wine you want. And you look around, you're not carrying a bottle. Maybe one guy's got a little bottle, but if he would have brought a barrel, he can have all the wine you want. But the guy has nowhere to put it. So Hashem wants to give you a lot of brachas. But you have to do a mitzvah and create that receptacle where it can come. Kimakalim lahem bonav. The truth is the way they acted, they were cursing themselves. They were hurting themselves. They weren't hurting anyone else. But Eli saw what was going on, velochi habam, and he didn't dim their countenance. He didn't put a damper on their spirits, and obviously he wasn't successful, and he was held to blame for the fact that this continued. Velochen ishbati leves Eli, and therefore I swear to the house of Eli, im iskaper avon beis Eli, if will be forgiven the avera of beis Eli, bezevach uvemincha, with a korban or a mincha is a flower offering, also that type of mincha, sacrifice, ad olam forever. Or as I this is a shvua, this is already in our, this is a decree, this is a gezar din, which sometimes can be changed. When the gezar din is accompanied with Hashem swears, it's final. In other words, this is it. There's no hope. Hashem swears that the punishment will happen. Imiskaper avon beis Eli with karbanos ad olam forever. But it's like a cloud with a silver lining. Hashem left the window of opportunity. The world stands on Torah, Avodah, and Gemilus Chasodim. Right? Avodah is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis Hamikdash, bringing the karbanos. Nowadays, we daven in place of that. In the Shalma Parim Sfaseinu, our prayers should be like a carbon. The children of Beis Eli desecrated the Avodah in Mishkan Shiloh. And therefore, that was taken away from them. They will never have a kapara by bringing a carbon. And it would be so much easier if a person made a mistake and he did an Avera, he would come to the Beis Hamikdash, he would do tshuva, and if he has the right thoughts, he does tshuva, bringing a carbon is machaper, and it's a lot easier. Now the person brings a carbon, and the carbon wipes away the Avera. Of course he has to do tshuva, but the carbon makes it easier for it to be accepted. Without carbonos, we're hampered. Tshuva still helps, and we can do tshuva, but it's harder without having the karbanos. Beis Eli would no longer be able to have that success by bringing a zevach uvemincha. But Chazal learned out Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, and that they won't have a kapara, and Daf Yud Ches, they won't have a kapara with a zevach uvemincha, with these karbanos. But they could have a kapara with Torah or with Chesed. In fact, the Gemara says in Yevamos and Daf Kuf Hei that Rava was Isaac in Torah and he lived 40 years. Beis Eli usually died at the age of 18. But Rava was Isaac in Torah, he lived to the age of 40. Abaya was Isaac in Torah and in Chesed and he lived to the age of 60. There are still opportunities that they that they could have a kapara. Just the outlet of karbonos was denied to them. In fact, as the Yerushalmi, I saw brought down on Nun Chesamid Beis in Rosh Hashanah, that they don't have a kapara with a zevach u'mincha, but tefillah helps. The one thing they lost is the karbonos. But whether they lost just the karbonos, or they lost that whole aspect of avodah, but they still can use Torah and Chesed, and in other words, it's not, again, it's not like the children are being punished because of their fathers. Because of the way the B'nai Eli acted, they lost certain things, and now they'll have to use Torah and Chesed in order to avert the punishment from happening to them. That was the end of the message. Vayishkav Shmuel ad haboker. So now Shmuel had this fearful nevuah. They're lying in the, it's in the Mishkan, Eli's lying down in his place, Shmuel's lying in his place, it's still nighttime, he has this nevuah. He lied down quietly, Vayishkav Shmuel ad haboker. It doesn't say he fell asleep, but he lied down till the morning, Vayiftach es dalsos beis Hashem, and he opened up the doors to the Mishkan as if it'd be a regular day. He was a Levi, and some Levium were singers, some Levium were in charge of opening and closing the doors, the Shoharim. His job was to open the doors, but Shmuel Yorei, Shmuel was afraid mehagid es hamaro, from telling over this vision el Eli Teili. He didn't have to. It wasn't like a nevuah that he was told to tell Eli, and he was scared. Why should he tell? You know, he didn't want to tell it to Eli. Vayikra Eli. Oh, but by the way, later on in the Novi, Shmuel is told that Shaul is going to lose the Malchus. Shmuel is the one who anointed Shaul to be the king, and then he was told that Shaul is going to lose his opportunity of being king. At that time, the Pasuk says, Shmuel cried out the whole night. It's in Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Yud Aleph. It says, Shmuel cried out the whole night to Hashem. But he didn't accept it passively. He acted. But here, it seems obvious that Shmuel realized that this was final. And in other words, L'chein Nishpati, this was a shvuah with a gezar din. Shmuel realized there was nothing to do. He didn't cry out the whole night. He spent the night till the morning. And then, Vayikra Eli es Shmuel, Eli called Shmuel. Vayomer, he said, Shmuel b'ni, Shmuel my son. As if to again show him that endearment. He's going to ask Shmuel to tell him something that's painful, that Shmuel's not going to want to say. But he told him, Shmuel b'ni. Vayomer hineni, and Shmuel said, here I am. Vayomer, and Eli said, what is the word that he spoke to you? He didn't say that Hashem spoke. He just says, what's the word that you heard? Could be he didn't want to say in terms of such he must have had a premonition that this was something very bad. The very fact that if it would have been a good nevuah, even if it didn't pertain to him, but I would assume that after three times at night, you know, in the middle of the night, if three times you go and you wake up somebody, the next morning you should come in and apologize. Or certainly if there was a nevuah and Eli knew it was a nevuah, he would have come in the next morning and said over what he was told. And it's like strange. The morning comes and Shmuel goes about his business, taking care of everything. He doesn't come in to Eli to discuss as if last night, you know, nothing happened. So Eli realized there must be something that obviously Shmuel didn't want to say. And it's probably something bad pertaining to him. The Ish Elohim had come to him telling him a terrible punishment. So he didn't want to say Hashem's name. What did Hashem say? And like Hashem said something bad. So he sort of, Mo'adavar shidivar elacha, what is the word that he said to you? Al no sechached mimeni. Don't hold it back from me. So Hashem should do to you, v'cho Yosef, and he should do even more. This is a klala of a punishment. But it's connected with a condition. This is what Hashem should do. Im techached mimeni dovar. If you hold back from me any word, mikol hadovar asher dibur elecha, from all of the words that the voice spoke to you. I guess it's a real shear if the cell phones go off. If you hold back anything, mikol hadovar asher dibur elecha, from all of the words that he spoke to you. In other words, you have to tell me what you heard, and you have to tell me everything. I don't want you to hold back the smallest thing. And he added on a klola. Now Eli, when he said that, we can assume that he meant that obviously Shmuel, on one hand he gets Shmuel Bini, he showed his love for Shmuel, and he had, you know, it was a stick in the carrot approach. On one hand, you're my son, I love you. On the other hand, if not, there's a terrible klola. And he was sure that Shmuel would tell him everything, and then nothing would happen to Shmuel. We're going to see, though, Shmuel was not successful with his own children. And Chazal say because of Eli's klola. Again, not that the Bechir is taken away, not that free choice is taken away, but certain circumstances can make it easier for somebody to reach his potential. You know, if somebody, lo aleinu, is stuck in a crowd with a bunch of roitzchim, a bunch of murderers, it's hard to imagine him to grow up to be a good person. But he definitely has the free will. He definitely has the free will. And if you're able to find yourself in a shul and find yourself sitting at a shir with like-minded individuals, that's a special gift. That makes it easier for you to serve Hashem and to have the right feelings and thoughts. But if somebody's not here, it's still possible for them to reach their greatness, right? Even if you're not here, you could still possibly reach your greatness, right? But certain things make it easier and certain things make it harder. Shmuel was not matzliach with his children. There was a certain siyata dishmaya that he was not granted because Eli gave a klala. Kilulas chacham afilu al tanai. If a chacham gives a curse, even if he connects it with conditions, it takes effect. Which is a very difficult concept. It's a very difficult concept to grasp. But just, I guess, as an idea, you know, a lot of these concepts are, you can devote a whole shiur to elaborating on. But the basic idea could be, the Nefesh HaChayim mentions that when a man was created, B'Tzelem Elokim, in the image of God, B'Tzalmenu Kidmusenu, the intention is that just like Hashem is a creator, each one of us was given the power to be a creator. How do you create? When you do the smallest mitzvah, whether it's an action or words that you speak or even a thought, you are being given the power to create worlds, and you don't know what you're accomplishing. It's like a guy sitting at a keyboard and he's typing away. You know, a little child comes in and he sees somebody pushing the keys on the keyboard. That's nothing. He can also push the keys on the keyboard. He doesn't realize the guy pushing the keys on the keyboard can be firing missiles coming out of the desert in Nevada. Or, you know, he doesn't know what power he's doing with the buttons that he's pushing. So too, you should know, you're given a keyboard. The keyboard is every action you do, every word you speak, every thought that you have. You're pushing buttons. And you're setting off tremendous forces in the universe. And it's only after 120 you'll find out what you did. But the guy who's, you know, wakes up in the morning and he'd rather turn over and go back to bed, and he musters the strength to get up and do the Avodas Hashem, what you're doing in Shemayim is unbelievable. You don't know about it now. A person's words are even more powerful than his thoughts. He's actually expressed it, the words that he spoke. Now the Chofetz Chaim also mentions another idea in his Shmiras HaLoshon. That is, just like a guy working with tools. If you ever try cutting something with a knife, and the knife is rusty, you know, you got one of those that's been lying in the tool shed for a few decades, and it's all rusty and it doesn't cut. You know, you can't work like that. A moil or a sheichet will tell you their knife is perfect. And in other words, you can't, if you're not using good tools, you're not going to produce a good product. Among the problems with Lashon Hara, besides all of the Averis, the Chofetz Chaim mentions is the fact that you're damaging your mouth. That your mouth, with the words you speak, could accomplish unbelievable effect. But if you say Lashon Hara with that mouth, you're damaging your power. And then the same mouth, it says the same words of davening. But if a tzaddik says those words, gives a blessing, his mouth is in perfect shape, so the words that he says has the effect that they should. If a guy is using a damaged mouth by saying things he's not allowed to, so the words are not as powerful. And depending on his madrega. When Eli said something, Eli said it, this is one of the ways you'll learn out that the Kilas Chacham happens. It happened from him, but when he couldn't learn from his life till, you can't learn from his life till after his life. He was the one living through this, and we learned from him. But when he said the Klala, he intended, if Shmuel should tell me every single thing, and he knew he had to be forceful because Shmuel's not going to want to say it. But we know that this is a lesson. That what a person says, especially the greater a person is, his words have more effect. But this is what Eli said. I want you to tell me everything. I want you to tell me, and I want you to tell me everything. Vayaged lo Shmuel eskol hadvarim. Shmuel told him all of the words. V'lo chicheid mimenu, and he didn't hold back anything. He told him the whole story, the whole nevuah. Vayomar, what was Eli's response? Vayomar, and he said, Hashem hu. He is Hashem. Interesting. The word Hashem itself is Midas HaRachman. Or it's Hashem hu, as Hashem is a Rachman. Hatov be'enov yase. What's good in his eyes, he will do. Some before, the simple meaning is he was matztik olovis hadin, nor he accepted it as a terrible punishment. But if that's the Ratzon Hashem, and when we initially mentioned what happened, the original klala, it was mentioned as the words of Hashem Elokei Yisrael. This was Hashem who was guiding Klal Yisrael, that for the betterment of the Jewish people, Eli's family had to step aside. That was what Klal Yisrael needed. They needed new leaders. And the truth is, we said, even for Eli's family, the truth is Chil Hashem, the kapara is, sad to say, but the kapara is Misa. For them, they are better off that when we sit now and we learn Shmuel, and we learn the lessons from how a person has to behave in a Mokum Kadosh, when we take that lesson, they get a tremendous chus. So it's a painful medicine. It's like taking medicine, and sometimes the person knows it's what he needs, and it's good for him, and it hurts. But Eli was makir, Hashem hu. It's Hashem, it's Midas HaRachamim, it's the best thing. And Hatov be'enov yaseh. As Hashem sees what's best in Hashem's eyes, yaseh he'll do. And now we stress again what's making Shmuel going to be the new leader. Vayigdal Shmuel. First of all, Shmuel grew. He progressed in his madregos. Vashem hoya imo, Hashem was with him. V'lo hipil mikol devar of artsa, and none of his words fell to the ground. They all had an effect. Meaning, first of all, any nevuah that Shmuel said, not every nevuah was needed l'dayreis, and not everything was written down in Sefer Shmuel. There were people, we'll see later on, somebody would go to the Navi and say, he lost an animal, we'll see later on, with Shoal, he lost an animal, where's the animal? And then the Navi would tell him, he sees it's in this place. There were many, many things that a Novi would say. But whatever Shmuel said, Elohipil Mikol Devar Vartza, none of his words fell to the ground. There's another pshat in Chazal. And it's brought down the Yalkut Shimoini. There was a chacham with the name of Abba. We'll tell you the story, and then you'll hear the rest of the story. A chacham with the name of Abba. And he used to sell silk. One of his customers was going to be Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseru, who lived in Netziva. And they had discussed he was going to sell this meshi, the silk. And then Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseru decided he wasn't going to buy it. So Abba later met him and he said, I thought you were going to buy the silk. So the buyer remarked that they had discussed it, but they didn't make a kinyan. It wasn't like it was a legal transaction. They had discussed the concept, but in other words, why not? He would buy this merchandise, and he sort of figured, no, better not. So Abba said to him, isn't your word worth more to me than gold? Or in other words, if you would have put down the money, I obviously knew that you would have bought the merchandise, but you said you were planning to buy it. So your word that you were planning on buying it, that was worth to me like gold. Sir, Yehuda ben Beseira said to him, if that's the way you regard your words, you should have a son like Shmuel, about whom it says, Vlo hipil mikol devar avarza, that none of the words of Shmuel fell to the ground, which could mean that all the words, whatever Shmuel said, he did. He didn't say anything and not carry it through. Whatever he said, he did. You should have a son like that, because I see the way you regard the words. I said I was going to buy the silk, even though I'm legally not required to. There was no transaction, there was no formalization of the agreement. Just to mention, I was interested in buying merchandise and you had it to sell. If that's the way you regard your speech, you should have a son like Shmuel. And he did. His son was Shmuel, the famous Shmuel in the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan. That Shmuel was his son. And the father, whose name was Abba, is who the Gemara refers to as Avuah di Shmuel, right? The father of Shmuel. I always wonder, what was his name? His name was Abba. But he's always referred to as Avuah di Shmuel, who's also one of the Amoroim in the Gemara. That was Shmuel. Vayeda kol Yisrael, and all of Klal Yisrael knew me Don vad Be'er Sheva. From Don to Be'er Sheva, through the whole country, they knew Ki Nemon Shmuel. Shmuel was somebody who could be trusted. Lenovi Lashem as a Novi for Hashem. Again, Nevuah, we mentioned before, like Bayis Nemon, where we said Hashem will establish a Kohen Nemon, and I'll give him a Bayis Nemon. Nemon is something that means loyal, means faithful, means a permanence, a constancy. Shmuel was Nemon as a Novi Lashem. It wasn't a one-time occurrence, but he could be counted on as the one who had the word of Hashem. That word Nemon, you found by Moshe Rabbeinu, B'chol Beisi Nemon Hu. Now you find it by Shmuel. Shmuel was Nemon as a Novi Lashem. Vayosef Hashem Lehiro V'shiloi. Hashem continued Lehiro to appear in Shiloh. Meaning, other people also were Zochet to Nevuah. Ki Niglo Hashem El Shmuel B'shiloh. Because Hashem appeared to Shmuel in Shiloh B'dvar Hashem with the word of Hashem. And beforehand it was Ein Chazon Nifrots, we learned. The visions of Hashem didn't have a way to break out and spread to the people. It was like a force of water that was confined and didn't have a way to come out. Shmuel opened up that conduit. Hashem appeared to Shmuel in Shiloh Bidvar Hashem, and now Hashem continued to appear in Shiloh, and even others were able to be Zoicha to Shmuel. Rashi mentions that point. So we did a lot in Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel is the end, basically, of Beis Eli, and Shmuel's going to take over, and now we'll actually see how the punishment and later Prokim begins to take effect, and how Shmuel begins to leave Klal Yisrael.
For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.